Chapter 15. Okay, now, Mr. Pitt, you must require a pose. Consult your own convenience then, I beg, on when you leave. Pitt, I thank your majesty. He departs as one whose purpose has failed, and the scene shuts. Scene 2, before the city of Ulm, a prospect of the city from the east, showing in the foreground a low-lying marshy country bounded in mid-distance by the banks of the Danube, which, bordered by poplars and willows, flows across the picture from the left to the Olchinjan bridge near the right of the scene, and is backed by irregular heights and terraces of espaliered vines. Between these and the river stands the city, crowded with old gabled houses and surrounded by walls, bastions, and a ditch, all the edifices being dominated by the nave and tower of the huge Gothic monster. On the most prominent of the heights at the back the Michaelsburg to the upper right of the view, is encamped the mass of the Austrian army, amid half-finished entrenchments. Advanced posts of the same are seen southeast of the city, not far from the advanced corps of the French Grand Army under Soult, Marmont, Lannes, Ney, and Dupont, which occupy in a semicircle the whole breadth of the flat landscape in front, and extend across the river to higher ground on the right hand of the panorama. Heavy mixed drifts of rain and snow are descending impartially on the French, and on the Austrians, the downfall nearly blotting out the latter on the hills. A chill October wind wails across the country, and the poplars yield slantingly to the gusts. Dumb show, drenched peasants are busily at work, fortifying the heights of the Austrian position in the face of the enemy. Vague companies of Austrians above, and of the French below, hazy and indistinct in the thick atmosphere, come and go without apparent purpose near their respective lines. Closer at hand Napoleon, in his familiar blue-gray overcoat, rides hither and thither with his marshals, haranguing familiarly the bodies of soldiery as he passes them, and observing and pointing out the disposition of the Austrians to his companions. Thicker sheets of rain fly across as the murk of evening increases, which at length entirely obscures the prospect, and cloaks its bleared lights and fires. Scene 3, Ulm. Within the city, the interior of the Austrian headquarters on the following morning. A tempest raging without. General Mack, haggard and anxious, the Archduke Ferdinand, Prince Schwarzenberg, General Jellicich, Generals Riesk, Biberbach, and other field officers discovered, seated at a table with a map spread out before them. A wood fire blazes between tall andirons, in a yawning fireplace. At every more than usually boisterous gust of wind the smoke flaps into the room. Mack, the accursed cunning of our adversary confounds all codes of honorable war, whichever have held as granted, that the track of armies bearing hither from the Rhine, whether in peace or strenuous invasion should pierce the Schwarzwald, and through Memmingen, and meet us in our front. But he must wind, and corkscrew meanly round, where foot of man can scarce find pathway, stealing up to us thief-wise, by out-back door. Nevertheless, if English war fleets be abreast Bowlen, as these deserters tell, and ripe to land there, it destines Bonaparte to pack him back across the Rhine again. We've but to wait, and see him go. Archduke, but who shall say, if these bright tales be true? Mack, even then, small matter, your Imperial Highness. The Russians near us daily, and must soon far within the 8 days I have named be operating to untie this knot, if we hold on. Archduke, conjectures these no more, I stomach not such waiting, neither hope has colonel in it. I and my cavalry with caution, when the shadow fall to night, can bore some hole in this engirdlement, out past the gate northeast, join General Werneck, and somehow cut our way Bohemia wards. Well worth the hazard, in our straitened case. Mack, firmly, the body of our force stays here with me. And I am much surprised, your highness, much, you mark not how destructive 'tis to part. If we wait on, for certain we should wait in our full strength, compacted, undispersed by such partition as your highness plans. Schwarzenberg, there's truth in urging we should not divide, but weld more closely. Yet why stay at all? Methinks there's but one sure salvation left, to wit, that we conjointly march herefrom, and with much circumspection, towards the Tyrol. The subtle often rack their wits in vain assay whole magazines of strategy, to shun ill loomings deemed insuperable, when simple souls by stumbling up to them find the grim shapes but air. But let news grant that the investing French so ring us in as to leave not a span for such exploit. Then go we throw ourselves upon their steel and batter through or die. What say you, generals? Speak your minds, I pray. Jellicich, I favor marching out the Tyrol way. Risk Bohemia best. The route thereto is open. Archduke, my course is chosen. Oh, this black campaign, which Pitt's alarm dispatches pricked us to, all unforeseeing. Any risk for me, rather than court humiliation here. Mac has risen during the latter remarks, walked to the window, and looked out at the rain. He returns with an air of embarrassment. Mac, to Archduke, it is my privilege firmly to submit that your Imperial Highness undertake no venturous vaulting into risks unknown. Assume that you, sire, as you have proposed, with your light regiments and the cavalry, detach yourself from us, to scoop a way by circuits northwards through the raw Alps and Herdenheim, into Bohemia. Reports all point that you will be attacked, enveloped, borne on to capitulate. What worse can happen here? Remember, sire, the Emperor deputes me, should such a clash arise as has arisen, to exercise supreme authority. The honor of our arms, our race, demands that none of your Imperial Highness's line be pounded prisoner by this vulgar foe, who is not France, but an adventurer, imposing on that country for his gain. Archduke, but it seems clear to me that loitering here is full as like to compass our surrender as moving hence. And ill it therefore suits the mood of one of my high temperature to pause inactive while await me means of desperate cure for these so desperate ills. The Archduke Ferdinand goes out. A troubled silence follows, during which the gusts call into the chimney, and raindrops spit on the fire. Schwarzenberg, the Archduke bears him shrewdly in this course. We may as well look matters in the face, and that we are cooped and cornered is most clear. Clear it is too, that but a miracle can work to loose us. I have stoutly held that this man's 3 years' ostentatious scheme to fling his army on the tempting shores of our allies the English was a well scarce other than a trick of thimble rig to still us into false security. Jellicich, well, I know nothing. None needs list to me, but, on the whole, to southward seems the course for lunging, all in force, immediately. Another pause. Spirit sinister, the will throws Mac again into agitation. Ho ho, what he'll do now? Spirit of the pities, nay, hard one, nay, the clouds weep for him. Spirit sinister, if he must, and it's good antiquate a vacant time. Mac goes restlessly to the door, and is heard pacing about the vestibule, and questioning the aides and other officers gathered there. A general, he wavers like the smoke wreath that inclines or north, or south, as the storm currents rule. Mac, returning, bring that deserter hither once again. A French soldier is brought in, blindfolded and guarded. The bandage is removed. Well, tell us what he says. An officer, after speaking to the prisoner in French, he still repeats that the whole body of the British strength is even now descending on Bowlen, and that self-preservation must, if need, clear us from Bonaparte ere many days, who momently is moving. Mac, still retain him. He walks to the fire, and stands looking into it. The soldier is taken out. Jellicich, bending over the map in argument with Risk, I much prefer our self-won information, and if we have Marshal Soult at Landsberg here, which seems to be truth, despite this man, and DuPont hard upon us at Albuquerque, with Ney not far from Gunsberg, somewhere here, or further down the river, lurking lands, our game's to draw off southward if we can. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.